Welcome to a very special edition of the Pacific Northwest Community Dreams Podcast. Today, I had a very lucky opportunity to sit down with a wonderful influencer, Buster Share, the founder of Hoops Nation, and some amazing brand projects that he's working on, such as the Buster Show. And he just works tremendously hard to get where he's at, and I just love to share a small piece of his story. So stay tuned. So I was just like tremendously blown away by your background with being so young. Like, you put in the hard work, like you work towards your passion towards basketball and broadcasting without listening to other people's opinions. Like, could you just start off at Buster at 14 years old and talk about the steps and achievements that you took to get to this amazing basketball outlet, Hoops Nation?
Yeah, for sure. So when I was 14, I lived in Brooklyn, and I started blogging about fantasy basketball then on Facebook, because I was just an avid fantasy basketball fan. That was really it. And I saw how huge fantasy football was, but it wasn't like that for basketball. So I wanted to kind of mess around with trying to help push that narrative forwards. I didn't think in terms of that to the same extent at age 14, but in retrospect, that's really what it was.
Yeah.
And then, I moved to Connecticut the year after. I always wanted to be a sports broadcaster, and the high school I went to, I was lucky enough that it had a local radio station. It had all the right equipment, so I could start actually messing around with it and broadcasting in girls JV lacrosse games and stuff like that. Not the sexiest stuff in the world, but it was definitely fun.
Yeah.
And you have to do it. Like, you, for anyone interested in broadcasting or wants to do broadcasting or does broadcasting, you have to broadcast games you don't enjoy to realize how much you enjoy broadcasting. Like, for me, it was the Friday night football game, or like the boys varsity basketball game, like the state championship, even when my high school wasn't playing. So, you have to go through those JV lacrosse games to get there. But essentially around the same time, decided that I wanted to expand this site that I had on Facebook, this Facebook page,
yeah,
called Fantasy Basketball Community, into slightly bigger, called All NBA All Day, and then decided I wanted to broaden that out. So I created all these different sports divisions underneath that, had kids in high school who were friends of mine, like, try to run them. Nobody actually had any dedication because all anyone cared about was school. So nobody did that. So that didn't work. But then I decided I personally was going to go all in on just basketball again and make it all levels of basketball. So that's kind of how Hoops Nation came to be.
Sure.
Unfortunately, around the same time, I stopped broadcasting the JV lacrosse games and started getting to do the JV basketball games. So so yeah, it's kind of just like a funny progression through that, but that's really how it started.
That's crazy. Were you building this alone, or did you have like a team that you're doing this with?
For the most part, it was alone. There were always like admins on the Facebook pages, and the way I grew the Facebook pages back then was through live streams. So Facebook launched Facebook Live right around when I was starting Hoops Nation, and I was just going live. And then my return, I was hitting up all these pages saying, what's up? Like, would love to help admin on your page in exchange for promoting mine. And then they started seeing the live streams, and they asked me to live stream on their pages. And I wouldn't ask for money ever. All I would ask for was that I could self-promote like an animal. So I did. Every like three questions, I would tell everyone to go follow Hoops Nation. So that was definitely one of the funny strategies behind it. But
and you created a fake Facebook page to get on the first live, right?
Yeah, I created a personal page that said it was from either Africa or Australia. Because the way Facebook releases features is it's location-based.
Okay.
So if you say you're from one of those locations, you get the feature. And that was before, like, CNN, NBC, like, before any media outlet had, because it wasn't available to pages. It was available to personal accounts in specific areas because they were testing it.
That is so cool.
Facebook's algorithm is probably smarter now to be able to detect that through an IP, but when I did it, it worked.
Yeah, that is crazy crafty. Did your parents like support you with this social media stuff?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. I mean, 100% they did. It was just a matter of myself and them figuring out, you know, if it was, you know, something that I could just totally punt school for. That was like the only thing where, and they were more right than I was by a mile. Like they should have been, as they were, pushing me to do at least mediocre in school. But yeah, my mind was never there.
That's crazy. So how were you able to build such a big community? Were you doing this for like through engagement, or did it come organically?
I think it's just consistency. I think that's really the only thing that matters, like consistency. And then if your content's like, meh, it'll work.
All right.
I've heard a lot of very successful people, when they're asked how good their content is, they'll be like, a 5 out of 10, but you know, all that matters is that they're putting it out and that they're engaging with their people and they're doing cool stuff to make everybody happy, you know?
That's crazy. Like as you grew, did you ever have to like consult a lawyer with things?
Yeah. I have a lawyer who has helped file everything and make sure it's all legal, but you know, that's never been, obviously, being a terrible student where my interests were, so I like to hand that off.
Yeah, that's super cool. As you grew, did you reach out to the NBA or did they already know who Buster was?
So it's an interesting question. So when I was 16, they asked for a meeting. I met with them, didn't really go anywhere. And then we talked on the phone about like some creative ideas I had for the NBA, which was ridiculous. And that conversation was way over my head. But it was cool. And then a year later, I met all the higher ups at the NBA out at their headquarters in Jersey, and they wanted to sign me to their YouTuber program. So I did. And then off of that, just started getting really cool opportunities within the NBA, show hosting and broadcasting games, stuff like that. So yeah, it's been really cool. I mean, the NBA is the best league in the world on so many different fronts, but first and foremost on content and how they handle their creators, they're the best of the best.
Yeah, that's crazy. What advice would you give someone trying to discover their passion?
I think honestly, and I've said this before, I haven't said it too many times, but I haven't met someone to this day that agrees with me on it. I think everyone already knows their passion because it's whatever they spend the most time doing.
Totally.
Like it makes sense. Like what do you do the most? Like what do you do the majority of the day? Do you watch movies? Do you eat food? Like what do you do? That's your passion. That's like you just literally just mark down what you do for a week, and whatever you do the most, that's what your number one passion is. Whatever you do the second most, that's your hobby. And whatever you do the third most is just like a side thing, but I think everyone already knows it. As far as like discovering your profession though, that just takes like trying. Like honestly, I think everyone knows their passion though. They just don't like to admit it.
That's crazy. And that's like the truth is you just got to kind of dig into yourself. And I like that advice of writing down things that you need to do. Do you ever get stressed out? And what are some like the outlets that you use?
I get stressed out for sure. Sleep is the number one outlet for anything. So usually I'll work through it to like whatever, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. Working out is great mentally, running. Yeah, just like getting blood flow is good. But yeah, sleep and blood flow are the two best things. It's just like science.
Yeah, that's crazy. One thing I saw was I saw you ask your question on Ask Gary Vee. So that's so funny.
Yeah.
I want to ask you the same question. What would be the advice you give 14, 15, 16-year-olds growing up in today's society?
So funny, man. I was so excited when he answered that. my advice would be create your business, create your dream business if it's feasible now, because 14, 15, 16 is the only age where there's no overhead in your entire life.
Yeah.
It's the only age. You will never have that again, ever. You will have a family. You will have people, you have a girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. Like, you have people you have to take care of. Like, you will have kids. You will have friends. You will have a job. You'll have an apartment with rent. Like, it's, you'll have to pay for your own food. Like, everything. Yeah. That's the only age where you don't have that. And I think that's one of the reasons I was able to do what I was able to do. Because usually people think it's the most difficult age, which I understand from like yes, you have school, and you know, yes, you haven't fully matured, or yes, you haven't experienced nearly as much. But I think it's honestly the easiest age to do stuff like that,
yeah,
because of all of the free time and minimal overhead that you have. So that's my advice for 14, 15, 16 year olds.
1000%. Do you think it's like important to be like well-rounded with like filmmaking and blogging and things like that?
If that's where your interests are. Yeah. I think for me, it's super important. You know, I'm not the greatest writer in the world, partially because I'm super dyslexic and ADHD, but, you know, that's definitely something I challenge myself to get better at. Like stuff like video editing that's something recently I've been working on getting better at. But yeah, I think it's always good to experiment new skills. Definitely, it's not bad.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I do heating and air conditioning for like my job, and I get a lot of pushback for being so young till I show them that I can outwork them. Do you ever get pushback with how young you are?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, when I try to enter clubs under 21, I'm just kidding.
Right.
I'm just messing. Yeah, I mean, definitely. And I think, you know, like, people always come around. If you're like the best at what you do, or you're good at it, or you're better than somebody else at it. And I never even think about it in terms of like you or somebody. It's more like, how good can you be? Like, you versus yourself, and just improving week by week. So, you know. Yeah, but you know, you just keep getting better. I'll come back around always. So I don't even think about that.
That's amazing. What's Buster's prize possession?
It's a great question. Prize possession. It changes pretty frequently. Probably, I mean, my phone, but I'm big into sports cards. So I'm trying to think if there's one. Not really though. Because nothing is too special not to sell for me in that sense.
Okay.
In sports cards. But prized possession. There are like some photos and stuff, but you know, like electric scooters I like, basketballs, basketball courts.
Yeah.
You know, there's not one. I'm not a huge, like, I love things, but I don't get attached to things.
That's great.
I got these Louis Vuitton sunglasses this summer. I like those.
Yeah, I've seen you rock those on TikTok.
On TikTok. I love TikTok. TikTok's my prized possession. That's my answer.
Nice. There you go. Let's see. Do you ever get nervous, like, meeting these celebrities and NBA players, or is it just something that's just becoming more natural to you?
I don't get nervous meeting celebrities. Honestly, I get more nervous meeting people that are really excited to meet me, because then there's this level of expectation. I meet a celebrity, there's no expectation from them to me. They could usually care less who I am, honestly. It's just my job to make them care who I am. But if somebody already really, really likes me, and then we meet for like 10 seconds, there's this expectation to be so awesome, which I'm always going to try to uphold. But who knows what mood or whatever, you know, people are people. So I definitely don't get nervous for stuff for the former, but the latter a little bit more so, but it's more fun anyways.
That is super cool. Let's see. What is your end goal? If everything went perfect, what does your end goal look like?
you know, I think in the end, I mean, it would be great in like 10 years to invest in companies that go crazy and then to be able to continue doing stuff along the lines of what I'm doing. But most of my goals are personal brand oriented. So just building that up, because I, you know, the way I look at it is the only thing I'll never, there's no chance I make an exit on. You know, like Hoops Nation, like as much as I love it and it's so much fun and like I'll keep doing it, you know, one day it's might come to a point where I make an exit on it, but nobody's trying to buy Buster unless, you know, someone's buying the exclusivity for a year or something like that. So personal brand is really the focus.
Heck yeah. Starting out, do you like recommend people to go show up at big events and try to catch some action outside or at the hotels that these people are staying at?
In referring to what? Referring like, to like basketball players and celebrities and stuff?
Just like events in general, like the Big Summit or just anything like popular like that.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think it's great. I think events like those are great. You know, as I didn't believe when I started, but I very much so believe now, it really doesn't matter what you know. All that matters is who you know. So I'm a big believer in that. And you'd be surprised, like, if you, like, just showing up is 98% of the battle.
1,000%. Do you think like school is killing kids' creativity today?
I think certain kids definitely killed mine, or it didn't kill it. It just limited it. Okay. Like there was no creativity flow while I was being asked to solve these math equations that I haven't looked at it for half a second since I graduated high school. So, you know, I think for certain kids, school is great. Kids will want to be lawyers and doctors, and because you just have to do it. It's not that I still don't even think that school is good for that, but to, in high school at least, to learn enough to go learn the real practice at the highest level is important. It's just weird how the whole system works. But I think for kids like myself, school is the worst thing ever.
Yeah. And it just, did you feel like you ever like got teased or like people?
Oh yeah, I got bullied hard because I switched schools. So switching schools is like if you want to get bullied, like that's the key. Switch schools.
Oh, gosh, that's crazy.
So yeah. And that, it was funny too. Like, you know, I think what's definitely worth mentioning if you've young people listening was like when I was doing All NBA All Day, the second iteration of what I was doing, every kid that like I talked to about it was like, it's so stupid. Like, what are you doing? Why are you wasting your time on this? You know, stuff like that. But granted, you know, I think it's just a matter of, you know, everyone gets that. It's just about who just keeps doing it, who's doing it for them and who's doing it for other people, you know?
Yeah, that's important. How does someone get one of those really cool Hoop Nation jackets?
So those jackets are gone forever, but we're doing a sweatshirt drop. I don't know when this episode comes out, but we're doing a sweatshirt drop on the 25th. Yeah. So next Friday, 25, that's it. And like 10 of them have already been pre-ordered, but, it's a sweatshirt and it's like a whole sweatsuit, sweatshirt and pants, like sweatpants. And then after that, if that does well, we're going to do different colors for it. So I'm pumped about that. But yeah, my designer who did the jacket, his name is Hollywood Hunter. He's the best, super underrated.
That is super cool. All right, last question. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
It's a great question. It's a question I've struggled with for many years. I think it depends on the bun.
Oh, okay.
Open bun, the answer is no. If it's a closed bun, the answer is yes.
Perfect way to put it. Is there anything else that you want to like add or just say?
Love your sweatshirt. D-Rock is the man. That's all.
Buster, I can't thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to sit down with me and share some of your stories. Like, I'm really grateful for this opportunity.
Yeah, no problem, man. I was sleeping earlier, so you weren't interrupting anything. It's perfect. Perfect timing. Yeah, thank you, Ben.
I just want to take a second to thank you, Buster, for sitting down with us on the Pacific Northwest Community Dreams podcast and sharing a small piece of your wonderful story. It is very inspirational to hear the hard work that you've been putting in towards your passion and brands to make your dreams come true. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and listeners, keep on chasing those dreams.